Brian Jennings, CEO, American Coalition for Ethanol.
So let's talk a little bit about the session today. Starting off, you mentioned that you think the best days of ethanol are ahead, but it's been unorthodox with the process. Talk a little bit about how things have been going.
Well, it has been unorthodox just because never before have there been seven high-profile meetings in the White House in a span of 4 months about the future of ethanol policy. But let's look at the good part of this. We've got a president saying for the first time, multiple times, that he wants to allow the use of E15 year-round, which has been a priority for our industry for years and years. It's one of the things that holds up retailer acceptance of E15, this antiquated rule that doesn't allow it to be used in some places in the summer months. So as long as we can continue to see some action by this administration followed up by those very promising words, that's something to look forward to. Now, there's some other stuff associated with this that gives us some pause. The need to continue to kind of allow refiners to escape their legal responsibilities one way or another, whether we allow RINs to be exported or we waive RINs or we give small refineries these kind of secret waivers. So we've got more work to do. But reflecting on the positive, focusing on the positive, if we can kind of separate that RVP issue, that E15 year-round issue, I think we can be on a good trajectory.
And on E15 being sold year-round, kind of we haven't seen action yet. And then you mentioned, too, will that count this summer? Like, when would that start? Talk a little bit about timeline for that.
Sure. So during the summer months, EPA regulates fuel for evaporative emissions, and that starts June 1st. So we're almost there. Currently, this outdated Reed vapor pressure evaporative emissions regulation prohibits the use of E15 in most of the country from June 1 to September 15th. E15 actually reduces evaporative emissions. It's better for the air than gas. It's better for the air than E10. And so all we're asking the administration to do is sort of reflect that science in the regulation and update it. If they were to go forward with that, we're just a few days away. One of the ways they could allow E15 this summer while continuing to work on the rulemaking, because that will take a year, is just a guidance letter from EPA to all of the retailers saying, hey, we're working on this rule, but while we're doing it, go ahead and continue offering E15 to your customers. That's really what we're hoping for and what we're looking for, given we have such a short time frame to June 1st.
And you also mentioned RINs on exports. Why is that a problem?
Well, RINs on exports is a problem for so many reasons. One, it really jeopardizes what's been a bright spot, which has been a growth market for our industry, and that's the export of ethanol. We exported a record volume of 1.4 billion gallons last year. If you attach a RIN credit to all of those gallons, it creates this glut of RINs on the market. It's going to drive the price of RINs down to somewhere in the neighborhood to maybe a nickel, maybe a dime, and that discourages ethanol blending here at home. So it really defeats the purpose of the RFS. We think it's probably unlawful. We think it will cause a lot of trade tension that we don't need any more trade tension today. We've got enough already, thank you. And it goes back on a promise that the EPA administrator himself made last year. He said to Republican senators, we've thought about this export RIN issue, but we're not going to do it, in a letter. And now here we are a few months later, and they've sort of resurrected it. So we're trying to give a quick death to this RIN export issue, but it keeps bubbling up.
And the hardship waivers that you touched base on, why are those such a problem too?
There's such a the hardship waivers are a problem because what we're learning is that a lot of the waivers, they're designed for small refineries that can truly demonstrate hardship. We're finding a lot of the waivers are going to refineries that aren't small and that really aren't suffering from economic hardship. And the 1.5 billion gallons so far of waived volume under these hardship exemptions is really undermining once again the purpose of the RFS, which is to blend more ethanol here at home. And so we're hoping that we can get EPA to reallocate, to fix this problem, reallocate those waivers back on to the future RFS volume. So that's something we're working on, and it's something we'll be looking at.
And as you mentioned, you think that the best days for the industry are ahead. Kind of what does the American Coalition for Ethanol hope happens?
I do think our best days are ahead. And the reason is we continue, that corn farmers continue to get better and better at producing corn, using fewer inputs, becoming more sustainable. In turn, ethanol plants are purchasing that corn, and they're becoming more and more efficient in how they process that into high value nutritious feed products and into fuel. Ethanol is the low-cost producer of high-octane fuel on the planet. Today, in the United States, ethanol costs about 70 cents less than RBOB, than gasoline. So we're clean, we're renewable, we're sustainable, we're price competitive. We simply need access to the market. That's what the RFS does, and we just need the law to be followed.